Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to Spirit of Life for, what is it, Wednesday, April 27th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here. Glad to be here always.
And tonight, of course, we have our regular program. Before we get into that, I would like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. And I will do that and then get into some other welcomes. So these nine principles of belief form the foundation of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. They are, number one, do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. Number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so that's the nine principles of belief. They're abbreviated. The expanded versions are available on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we welcome all those joining us live tonight. We're glad to have you in the chat room here. And if you've got any questions as we go along, please don't hesitate to ask them there. We also welcome those who are listening to the archive version of this program. It's good to have you. So to get started, we're going to have Michael Kelly, who produces this program, he's picked our first card, and he's going to read it. So go ahead, Michael.
Hello, everybody. The card I picked tonight is the Power of Belief. That is number 25 in the Spirituality Suite. And I'm going to read from the guidebook here. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy. Proceed with conviction.
Well,
I think it's also the power of belief in oneself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, do you believe in yourself, and what do you believe about yourself? And that perhaps is, it lends also to what you believe in outside the self. You know, it's, yeah, I agree. This is a great card. I mean, it's, I think you're right, it's fundamental. Right at the core of it. We have a couple of people in the chat room saying they can't hear. Maybe they would like to, obviously they can't hear if I say refresh it, so I'll just write that in here right now.
So. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think folks probably heard most of what I had to say, but the mic accidentally shut down.
Is your mic live, son? Or
it is.
So we're not the only ones who can hear you, right? It's going out over the broadcast?
Yeah, see, Tabitha, I just...
Okay. Okay, so some have heard Michael. Okay, good. Yeah. All right, good. So let's take power of belief a little bit further, and I'm just going to stall for a moment, and hopefully those who couldn't hear will be able to hear. Okay, they're coming on now.
Hey, Phyllis.
Okay.
Well, you know, the little glitches of live shows, you know, it'll happen. I have to say, though, for as many shows as we have done, as many broadcasts, we've had very few glitches, and most of that is thanks to Michael. He's a genius back there.
Well, that's probably going a little bit too much, but thank you, Barry.
So that's right. But that's the power of belief. You believe in yourself. We believe in you. You know, and
absolutely.
We believe also that there isn't anything that isn't correctable. You know, we're going to run into little things in our life, and you have to believe that you can remedy them and find different solutions. If you don't believe there's a solution, I think that's when
absolutely.
You know, people start to collapse.
It's just that fundamental thing. When you have belief in yourself, that means you can pretty much handle anything the world throws at you.
That's true. Good point. Very good point.
Totally agree. And from a positive point of view, there are options. And if you don't think there are options, well, then you stop believing in yourself. So it's kind of that circle effect.
Right.
So let's take, you know, belief to a personal point. You know, and those listening either live or to the archive broadcast, you know, think about your own beliefs. Think about the beliefs that you hold about yourself, about those close to you, about the world, your world view. You know, the beliefs that you hold about yourself, for example, at work or in other settings, you know, are those beliefs hindering or helping you? You know, a belief can either free you or enslave you, depending on what it is. And so many folks have disabling beliefs. They become disabled from those beliefs. Sometimes fear can do that. So think about that. And if you have beliefs that tend to hold you back, just lose them, you know, I know it's easier said than done, but lose them, replace them with a positive belief. And, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and add some license here and take this to another level. One of the biggest problems people have with their own self-belief. We've talked about that numerous times, self-esteem. And it holds so many people back. And the primary reason that it does is because so many people compare themselves with others. And that's something that we don't want to do. You're a unique individual. Don't compare yourself with others because there is nothing to compare to. So keep that in mind and think about that. Meditate on it. Ponder it. Don't compare yourself with other people. You bring what you bring to the table. And if you want to bring more to the table, then bring more to the table. Well, any comments, or are we ready to go on?
Well, I think you could talk about belief for a good while. I mean, you touched on a great duality of belief. I remember after I, you know, left the faith, if you will, the truth, quote unquote, I turned away from any form of belief. I thought it was all almost toxic. Belief in myself or belief in anything else, belief in anybody, belief in anything. It was just dangerous to me. It took me a while to get back to a point where I could have belief in anything, you know, take that little leap of faith in yourself.
That's a good point.
I think that lends to trust.
And, absolutely.
You know, whether it's relationships or religion, it's not about do you trust religion or do you trust a relationship. It's do you trust yourself. And mm-hmm. sometimes we have to really debrief, you know, and deprogram ourselves and get back to a core and start rebuilding from that inside out. And that's kind of what you did, Michael, I think.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Absolutely.
Yeah, we could go on and on about beliefs. You know, I mean, if you think about it, belief, the power of belief, I mean, the power of belief is, as the text said there, is arguably the most potent force in the universe.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's responsible for the state of affairs on this planet today. You know, we have those who believe in genocide, we have those who believe in jihad, we have those who believe in just killing anyone that's not doesn't believe the same as them. You know, fortunately, in my opinion, though, I think that for the most part, most people just want to live peacefully, which is a good thing, otherwise it would even be worse. But belief, you know, can even hold back people who want to live peacefully, but they're never quite good enough because of what the religion's teaching them, what the religious beliefs are teaching them. And that's not healthy. So, you know, whatever disabling beliefs you're harboring, find a way to replace those with enabling beliefs, positive beliefs.
We got a couple of comments in the chat room, and you know, a couple of people are certainly relating to what Michael has said, doing it for themselves at this time, and commenting on how they've been rebuilding. And Fran makes a good comment, and you may have to deconstruct more than once, and that's really true. You know, I think we go through various phases of life that you say, oh man, I got to debrief myself. I often visualize it much like a computer hard drive. You know, you have to kind of update the program and expand more memory, you know, because that software is not going in that hard drive. And Zach makes a good point, you know, nothing replaces experience, but that comes as a result of Phyllis saying that she doesn't get upset anymore if people think her beliefs are strange. She knows what she's seen and done and discovered, and that came after she'd mentioned that she's a senior citizen and just doesn't care about public opinion. And that comes with age. That comes with experience and age, and I think when you're young and things are tenuous, it's that uncertainty of where you fit. And everybody, you know, we're very social creatures, right? So we want to fit somewhere. But you got to fit in with yourself first and then attract like-minded people. So it's it's a journey. It's all a journey that we have to keep asking ourselves, what do I believe in? And know that you might not believe in that tomorrow, and that's just okay.
You know, amongst a few other things, but one of the points I kind of got to, and it almost sounds like a cliche, but I got to the point where I believed in the journey itself. I know it sounds corny, but it actually helps with a healthy outlook.
It's a perfectly healthy outlook. I've often said to people, well, this is my theory today. It's a theory, but you talk to me next week and I could have more information and change the theory. So that's the journey.
You know, we could talk about belief for a long, long time here. And one of the things I wanted to share is that I've been doing something which I think is interesting, and for the last couple of months or so. And it's interesting to me because I'm a student of human behavior and human nature. And I've basically been doing some research online, assessing this planet as if I was an alien visitor looking at this planet and wondering, who are these people and what are they about? And so what I've done, you know, I've checked some of the news, several of the news websites, and I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos. I know it sounds corny, but it's true. I mean, there's a lot of people posting a lot of things in all kinds of different subjects. And it's just been fascinating, and I've just been kind of weighing it, you know, as Dr. Vicky says, I'm putting it in my report, so to speak. But anyway, something to just share with everybody, something I've been doing and just assessing and seeing, you know, what is the state, what are people doing, what is driving people. And that's just a side point. So let's move on to another card, shall we?
Shall I?
Are you up for picking another card, Michael? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think I got another one in me. Let's see.
Yeah. All right.
And you're going out live, son, right?
Yeah, I am. Okay. All right, I have wild card number 7, Hope. All right.
Hope.
Oh, please, feel free to read it.
Yeah, it ties right into what we were talking about. All right. Hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
That's a good one. It ties right into belief perfectly. That hope is that will of the human spirit, I think, that innate spiritual connection. And when you believe in that, you know, you always, no matter how deflated you get at times, you know, there's always something to work toward and believe in. So it's a great card.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking to myself earlier when I was talking really about the negative sides of belief, losing faith or belief in yourself, losing that power of belief in yourself really means you've lost hope in yourself, hope in your future.
Perfect. Absolutely. Good one. Very good way to look at it.
There's a couple of lines in this text that are really powerful. The first one is, even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. And that's what I was talking about. And I've talked about that before. If we feel hopeless, then that's a point where we need to change our beliefs about the future, about what we're doing. And it can be part of depression. It can be whatever. But if you feel like the things are hopeless, change your beliefs. Look for the silver lining. Look for the positive, because you'll find it if you look for it. If we're not looking for it, we may not see it. So it's crucial. If you feel hopeless, change your beliefs and core values. The next line is, safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. And that is because if all is lost, and you feel all is lost, if you feel hopeless, then all is lost until you change your beliefs and look for the positives in any given circumstances. Having something to live for is a huge, huge benefit. Even Viktor Frankl talked about that when he was developing his logotherapy, and you know, he went through Auschwitz, lost his wife and daughter, wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, which is a great book, and if you haven't read it, you should buy it and read it. Go to the bookstore and get it. Buy it online. Get the Kindle version, whatever it takes. Read it at least once. I mean, I've read it once. And the first section in it is his experiences at Auschwitz. The second part of it is his logotherapy, which is, you know, the third Viennese branch of psychiatry. And it's a meaning-based psychotherapy. And he basically said that the people who made it, who lived and survived at Auschwitz, were people who had a reason to do so, a reason to live. And so if you feel hopeless, you need to find that reason to live, because there is one. It's just, you know, feeling hopeless is just an opinion. It's just a belief. That's all it is. And we can change it by changing the belief, changing the opinion. It doesn't have to be that way. We may think things are hopeless and that that's all it's going to ever be. That's not true. That's just an opinion. It's just a belief. So change it. Look for the silver lining. Look for the positives. Because once you've lost hope and you can't regain it or don't want to regain it, you know, you're done. Don't be done. All right. Any comments?
Well, actually, I would like to help Phyllis out here for a moment if I can inject this.
Sure.
She is headed back to work, and she's asked if we could pick a card for her before she has to leave us.
Do.
So I did, in fact, while you were talking. And Phyllis, this is for you. So number 30, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. You know, we know you, Phyllis, and we know that you know your greatness to deliver. Sometimes each of us just needs that little bit of a reminder, a little tap on the shoulder to say, hey, it's okay, greatness to deliver, and keep going. So that one's for you today, and I hope you have a great evening at work. And we so appreciate you joining us, even though it's for a brief time. You're always valued.
Yes, and that's and that card. Do you have anything you want to comment on, Sun?
Oh no, go ahead.
Okay, that card, Greatness to Deliver, is a great expression, and I heard that. I mean, we talk about that in our courses all the time, but I heard that years ago. I think it was 1999 or something when Stanley Kubrick passed away, and the director, and the commentator, I think I was listening to NPR at the time, but the commentator, the person that they were interviewing about Stanley Kubrick, made that comment that he had greatness to deliver, and all I heard was greatness to deliver. I mean, I'm thinking, wow, that is a great expression. And I got really thinking about that, greatness to deliver. How do you deliver greatness? What does it mean? You know, is it just, you know, real famous film directors that have greatness to deliver? Or is it just, you know, sports people, celebrities, or well-known people? Or who exactly has greatness to deliver? And the more I thought about it, well, everybody has greatness to deliver in some way. And there's a lot of unsung heroes out here and out there. And so everybody has greatness to deliver. Everybody listening to this has greatness to deliver. And if you don't think you have greatness to deliver, that's just another belief or opinion that you need to change. You have greatness to deliver. Anytime you lighten the load for someone in some way, whether it's opening a door, helping them out in some way, smiling, giving them the good word of encouragement, that's greatness to deliver. You're delivering greatness. And if we had a whole planet of people doing that, think about the benefits to this planet and to this race, the human race.
Just imagine it.
So imagine for a moment that Michael picks one more card while we wait for people in the chat room to say whether or not they'd like their own card joined. You got exactly. Another card for us, Michael?
Yeah, sure thing. I'll grab one right now. When I heard Stanley Kubrick died, I just thought that his coffin must just look exactly like the monolith from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
All right. I have number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter in the Existential Suite. Let me grab the guidebook and I will read the entry.
Which card was it again?
That was Energy Shift, New Chapter, okay. Number 14.
14, thanks.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
That fits in with what we've been talking about. Especially with hope and
absolutely.
Belief, and you know, energy shift. And that's what happens when we change our belief, when we change our opinion of ourselves mm-hmm. or whatever, when we change our opinion of being hopeless, that's an energy shift, and that opens up a new chapter.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I was also thinking about, too, with the last card I'd read, Hope, is there was a line in the and their safeguard your hope for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. You know, one thing that kind of struck me as too, and it ties right in with energy shift in a new chapter, is when you're in those moments of hopelessness and you're at the bottom, it's for a lot of folks, it's easy for them to be swayed in a very bad direction if they're not careful. And that's something that it meant to me too, is safeguard your hope, your integrity, make sure that the path that you're on is a good one. And I think that ties right into a new chapter too. Especially if you're coming out of one bad place, you don't want to go right into another bad place. You want to find a healthy philosophy, you know.
Good
great
points,
Michael. I love it. I know we have people in the chat. Tabitha, I believe, is first. I just drew a card for you, Tabitha. It's number 33, Preference and Principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. You were just talking about that, Michael. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. So that's a little message for you there, Tabitha. I mean, we're always, I think on a daily basis, kind of going through a situation where, you know, say, preference or principle. And I just reduce it to that preference, principle, preference, preference. No, okay, say nothing. So it's a good one.
That's a great principle, if you will, to just live by. You know, if it's a matter of preference, just yield. It's not worth fighting about. You know, if you want it green and I want it blue, I am not going to fight you over it. It just does not matter. Now, that doesn't mean you have to always concede. That's not fair either. Now, if you're the one who's always conceding, now it's a matter of principle, because you know no one person should always concede. But it's a great way to stay out of arguments that are pointless and fruitless. It's just a great way to pick your battles. It's like people think that things matter that don't matter. I mean, you see this all the time, and people are fighting over what? I mean, they'll fight at work, they'll fight over a parking place, they'll fight over anything, and it just does not matter. It's not worth the energy to invest in it.
We next have Fran. Fran, I'm thinking of you, your vibe. I am turning over a card. It is number 2 of the wild cards suit, and it's and then some. That's a good one. And then some. So this one's for you, Fran. Again, just what we call our little reminders. When you have reached your limits and believe you've done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what's required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you're leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. The and then some kind of philosophy can apply in many, many different ways. So sometimes it's just taking that extra time to do something for somebody, or the just little things, and then some might be smiling at the cashier on the way to the grocery store. You know, it's just that little and then some. So I hope you can connect with that in some way for your life, Fran. That's it's yours, but we can all learn from it. So is there anybody else? Sarah.
While you're doing that, I wanted to Sarah, I wanted to actually comment on and then some, because it's a great, and I've got to look up where I heard that, where I read that, the person who said that, because it's a great life lesson, and we teach that to our kids, and we employ it. Whatever you're doing, just add a little bit to it. Can it be a little bit better? Now, I mean, you can't be obsessive about it. You can't keep going. But one of the things that I do when I'm doing anything, whether it's writing a course or doing graphics for the site, doing the website, you know, the websites that we have, anything I'm doing, I'm always asking myself, you know, what else? What does it need? What else can I do? What can I add to this that will make it just a little better? And that goes for work, at work. That's a great work ethic. At work, you know, you do the and then something, that's part of the ownership attitude. And if you have an ownership attitude as an employee at work, that's like you're fireproof. They're not going to get rid of you, because that's so uncommon. Most people have the attitude of entitlement. They feel like they're owed everything. But when you as an employee take on that ownership attitude, and you act as if you are the owner or part owner of the company, you do things just a little better. You do and then some. You add to it. You're less wasteful. You economize on things. You look for ways to do things better, more smoothly, less costly. You take better care of your customers, because when that customer walks in the door or calls on that phone, you know, the attitude is they're your boss. They're the ones paying your paycheck, not your boss. He's just the mediator. He's just the one that passes through. But the customer, they're the ones who are paying you. And so many people don't know that. They feel like they're entitled. Oh, crap, the phone's ringing again. Or another customer, crap, I got to deal with it. You know, it's like, really? Who do you think's paying your paycheck? You know, change your attitude. Not an attitude of entitlement, one of ownership, and always say, and then some, what else can I add to it? All right, so let's go with
We have Sarah, and I think that's an anglicized pronunciation, but I hope that's okay with you, Sarah. So I picked number one for you in the whole deck. The first card in the whole deck is perfection. So this is for you. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully. Perfection. I love that card. Because you are perfect. Everything is a perfect cause and effect. It's we are perfectly designed uniquely. And that's a little reminder for you, Sarah, that your perfection.
Yep. And, you know, we have talked about perfection so much, and yet people need to hear it. Because we so often think, oh, I'm not perfect, or I botched that up. Or we start with that negative self-talk. And we need to understand that, hey, we did it the best we could at the time with the knowledge, resources, and level of awareness that we had at the moment. And so, I mean, there are times when we know better and we still do it, and maybe our mind is somewhere else, or we're just not paying attention. Well, we still did the best we could with the knowledge, experience, and level of awareness that we had at that moment. So don't kick yourself. Just understand that's part of who you are. It's part of the human condition. We all make mistakes, no problem. Learn from them, move on.
All so right, is there anybody I've missed? Anybody in the chat room I've missed? Do you see anybody there, Michael?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. For a second there, I thought Zach might want a card, but I might have misread that.
Third from the left?
Didn't see that line, no.
Or third from the right?
Maybe he doesn't want a card.
Oh, maybe not today. That's all right. Not going to violate anything here, Zach. So, he said sure. Get me. I love this chat room. It's great. It's great to see. Okay. Oh, third from the left. I went with that, Zach. Number 24 in the spirituality suit is truth. Now, truth. Wow, it's a good one. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there's a truth in something or in a direction. You know, I could even take that right back to the very beginning of this evening to talk about beliefs and hope and how it all kind of weaves together into us discovering our own truths and the way forward. That's your truth. And sometimes when we're kind of wondering, you know, it's just to sit quietly for a moment and let new thoughts come to our mind. You know, it's like making space in our hard drive, as I say. So it's this is for you. This find your way ahead, finding your own truth there, Zach, and your perfection. Remember that too. So,
and you know, that's a good point. You know, one thing to do is just to meditate. A lot of people don't really know what that means. They think they got to sit, you know, with folded legs and you know, index finger, middle finger and thumb put together and all that stuff. There's all kinds of types of meditation. And I like what Dr. Vicky said. You know, it's so interesting at times to just go into a room by yourself and just let things settle. Let the atmosphere settle. Listen. What can you hear? You know, listen. Pay attention. What little noises can you hear that might be around the house or whatever? And just let things settle. Let your mind settle. And look for your own truth. I mean, ask yourself, who am I? What is my truth? Because that's a good way to start refining your core values, too. And just let things settle. It's very peaceful. It's very soothing. Even if you have a little music in the background, that's fine, too. But let things settle. Let the energy settle and see what you're left with. Good points.
You know, sometimes I let housekeeping cleaning or baking be my meditation. That's when, you know, these are, I can get things done. They're menial tasks, so they're kind of mindless. But I can allow room in my mind to kind of stir things around, let them go quiet, get new ideas. So it's really meditative. And I think everyone has that something that is meditative in a way. So find that to do and just allow new thoughts to come. You know, one thing I'd like to say, we all have access to the universe. We all have access to all that information. And it's just up to us whether we want to hear it and use it. Because we can all hear it sometimes. We don't always use it. And sometimes we have to kind of debrief the belief systems and start a new part of our journey. So,
all right. Before we start wrapping things up, I wanted to mention a couple of things. First of all, what is it, about a week and a half left before our graduation, online graduation ceremony, which we do annually the first Saturday in May for our IMHS students and now TFU students as well. And so if you're listening to this, we hope that you will join us if you're a student at IMHS or Thomas Francis University. And we're doing things a little bit differently. I used to have to ask anybody who wanted to participate to register to let us know. And that's still, the forum is still there and you can. But what we're going to do this year is we're going to read the names of everyone who's graduated since our graduation ceremony last year. Right now I think I've got a count of 100 bachelor's, master's, doctoral degrees. And so we're going to read names, and hopefully you'll be there to hear your name. And I'm going to include, you know, use whatever the highest degree you've earned in the last year. You'll be mentioned in for that degree. And then there's also the option for students to give a 2-minute speech that you'll record MP3 file and send it to me, and we'll play it. And we have some who want to do that, so hopefully we'll have several speeches as well. But I would like to encourage our students to be planning for that. It's going to be at 9 p.m. UTC time. That's Greenwich Mean Time. And if you go to, in IMHS, if you go to the Student Center, you'll see the countdown clock. If you go at Thomas Francis, if you go to the dashboard, you'll see the countdown clock. And there's also a time zone converter as well. So at Eastern time, where I'm at, it's actually 5 o'clock in the, you know, late afternoon, early evening. But it's 9 p.m. UTC, and so you have to check it and make sure that what your time zone is. But when that time clock counts down to zero, we're starting. And it doesn't matter what you think the time zone is. When that clock counts down to zero for everybody, that's when we start. And so I hope that you'll be there. It's online. It's going to be on a page very similar to what you're looking at right now with the chat room and the broadcast. And so you'll hear it, and you know, have your family around, and if you're graduating, if you've earned your bachelor's, master's, doctoral degree in the last year, plan some kind of a celebratory event. You know, go out to eat, go do something, but pat yourself on the back, because not all students make it that far. You know, a lot of students get discouraged or let life, you know, distract them, and they don't make it. And we hope to have them back, and many of them do come back and finish. That's great. But you should be proud of yourself for sticking with it, you know, just hanging in there and doing a good job and graduating, and just be a part of that. And if you're not graduating, if you haven't graduated or earned your bachelor's, master's, or doctoral in the last year, be there anyway to support the students who have, because the chat room will be there. You can put in smiley faces. You can put in, you know, attaboys and stuff like that. So I hope you'll be there for that. That's on May 7th, Saturday, May 7th, 9 p.m. UTC, Greenwich Mean Time. The last thing I wanted to mention is that I'm very pleased to say that my wife, Tracy Kelly, is joined, is taking a larger role, I should say. She's going to be, or has become, our new student support coordinator for both IMHS and TFU. And she's basically there as a support liaison for students who have questions, who need help, who need, you know, cheering up, positive thought, any kind of an encouragement thing or just general questions. And she's learning the ropes here. She's always been a part of this from the get-go. She's just been more of a silent partner, if you will. But this school, this organization, this church would not be what it is without her input. She's been instrumental, and she's been like a co-developer of everything. So she's been involved with it all along, just not in an obvious way. But she's taking that role now, and she's really doing well with it. And she's sent out, she'll be contacting students just to check in, how you doing, how can we help, if anyway. But she's done a great job, so I'm really excited to have her here because she's smart and she knows what she's doing. She's just sharp. Of course, she's paying me to say that. She's looking at me saying, "Oh, keep saying it, I'll pay you more." Not really.
So welcome, Tracy, to the group. Yeah. I'm glad to have you here this evening as well. And it's a new breath of air in our chat room, too. It's great.
And, yeah, I told her she needs to call me Dr. Kelly every day. But I'm not going into that. Okay, so, any rate, it's good to have her. I'm excited. It's nice to have her here working alongside. Anyway, but thanks to everybody. We appreciate your time tonight. Let other people know about this if they have an interest. And thanks to those listening to the archive as well. Thanks to Michael for being a part of this tonight. He's a part of it every week, but a little bit more obvious part tonight. Thanks to Dr. Hunter as well. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.